to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna Patton. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we have a special guest with us, Pastor Mike Hiller, who was the founding father of Peace. Founding father, wow, wow. It started out so well. Who is the founder of Peace with Christ, which started from a church plant, right?
Right.
So today we're talking about the age of leadership, and tell us a little bit about the early days of Peace with Christ.
Well, Peace with Christ started off as a small church, and as it grew, I found that the leadership challenges of being a pastor would have to change with every stage of growth and what we would do. And so it wasn't just do what you've always done. You always had to be adjusting and changing to the different needs and the number of members you had.
Was that exhausting?
It was, yeah, I don't know if exhausting is the word. It's challenging. It could be very challenging. And you were always going into a new area where you weren't quite sure what you were supposed to be doing.
And just for the listener who may not know this, that's when it was a dirt road leading up to Peace with Christ. Tower Road was a dirt road.
Right.
There was nothing here the day you guys dug that hole. There was nothing around it. So what made you pick this location?
We didn't pick it. The district had a group of people for LCEF, went out and had picked it as a future location. So before I was ever called, they already owned this.
So is there a part of you, you're standing in the middle of this dirt road on a dirt hill, nothing around, oh boy, I get to plant a church here.
Yeah, it was. I think the thing that was good was I had a group of people that called me from other churches when I got the call and said, we're ready to get a church started out here. And so that, at least I knew there was somebody. You know,
yeah.
There was a group of people that wanted to help get it started. So that made it easier to make the switch.
So the reason we wanted to talk about the age of leadership is we wanted to talk about the contrast between leadership in the days of starting Peace with Christ and coming into Peace with Christ as the second pastor, right?
Yeah.
That we've ever had. So you've been at Peace with Christ how many years now?
It'd be six in November, so probably the time this is aired, six.
And you were at Peace with Christ how many, Pastor Hiller?
What, 36?
Wow, a lot of years.
Yeah.
So for both of you, how do you see the role of pastoring your calling in the past? What was your responsibility? How'd you view it? And then Pastor Josh, how do you see it now?
I think that when I started, as I said, since it was a small church, a lot of my leadership was on getting the building built, the first building, on getting new members, made a lot of home visits. It was more of that type of thing. As the church grew, then it became more leading the organization, the organizational structure, getting that built up. What were we trying to do as a church? What do we want to do? And so probably the bad thing is when you're a small church, there's a lot of interpersonal relationship with all the people. As you get to be a larger church, you get less and less of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that toward the end, like I never obviously didn't plant a church. I'm not sure I was ever called to do that. But yeah, the continuing to look at where the church is at and how to move the people forward. And I think that's really how do we fulfill the mission? Obviously, there's care for people, there's walk with people, but how do we really, I don't know, for who Peace is and the pastor I've been called to be, I think it's really how do we move the mission forward? How do we disciple our people to go out and share their faith? How do we disciple our people to raise their families to know Jesus? How do we disciple our kids so that we have kids that raise their kids, our grandkids, to know Jesus, right? Those are all things that I think are so important, and again, to build on the foundation that Peace is. I'm not building a new building. I'm not putting shovels in the ground, but how do we build on really the foundation of Pastor Hiller and all the other founders to continue to speak that gospel? I think that's really the challenge that, you know, to simplify the challenge that we have in front of us.
So as someone who's had the privilege to work with both of you.
I'm sorry.
the question I have, a word that you used is one that I heard a lot during your leadership, organization. How do we grow the organization? One that I've heard you use a lot is systems. Mm. What are our systems? How do you see those? Why were those, each of those concepts important in your season of leadership?
I think that looking back, I probably, what I would change is getting into organizational structure as much as we did. I would much rather go back and focus on discipleship, discipling people, rather than building an organization. I think that the thing that was the big thing at that time was church growth, got to be a part of that, and that had its place and time, and it was designed to lead people to Christ. But I think we put all the eggs in the basket of organizations doing this, and I would go back and say, no, it's you pour into the people, you make disciples who will make disciples.
Yeah, and you've really impressed that on me and some of our conversations. I've heard you say if there was anything you could tell a pastor in seminary or who's new to the field, focus on discipleship.
Yeah, pouring into the lives of people rather than just leading the organization.
Yeah, the organization only goes to, I think, only goes as far as we disciple the people to go. Because, and that's part of the reason of this podcast. We want to disciple our leaders so that they can lead others. And there are, you know, there's systems that need to undergird that. And we're always trying to work at, you know, how do we have, I think really this is the goal for us when we say systems, how do we have the least amount of systems that don't get in the way of discipleship, but there still has to be some systems. We need to learn, we need to have ways of discipling people. Our leadership circles are in some ways a system, but they're systems to support the discipleship, not systems for the sake of systems. That'll kill us as a church.
And not organization for the sake of organization,
right?
Keeping your eye on the ball of people knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
What tools in ministry today do you wish that you had, and Pastor Hiller, and which ones, Pastor Josh, that Pastor Hiller had, do you wish that you had? I'm actually gonna start with Pastor Josh on this one.
And maybe he'll say kind of the opposite, but I'm going to say I think people that are removed from technology, right? I think we're far too integrated into technology. Like I had a small group member that they were talking that they're on their cell phone less than 3 hours a week. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Like, I wish we had more people like that. Like, and I think that wasn't a problem. And so, like, it's really, people aren't really a tool, but they're how we move our ministry forward. And I think, like, our use of technology and entertainment, and I would say my generation's like sometimes escaping into technology and entertainment, like it does affect our ability to circle up and be equipped. It does affect our ability to do certain things that I think a church needs to. And so we do things like when we go on the church camp out and technology isn't as usable, we slow down and we're together and our kids are playing together and it's just so refreshing. And I think, again, you can always look back at the days back before, like I was growing up in the 90s, right, when peace was exploding. Like it was different. And I think there's some parts of that world that if we could get back to parts of it would be helpful.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that is the biggest change I've seen in ministry. When I came to peace, it was the days of paste and clip. I think if I wanted to get something out and communicate to students, I literally had to paste and clip and make this flyer that would go out that I typed.
Yeah.
And to get students, I would sit on the phone on a Sunday afternoon and call students to see if they were coming to youth group. And now, you know, social media and how we get this podcast out, the videos that we do leading up to it. I mean, It's beautiful and hard and very yeah. distracting all at the same time.
What would I like to have had? You know, I think the ability to communicate as quickly as you can yeah. now.
Right.
It used to take a letter. You'd send a letter out, and you'd have to get it written and copied and all that. And that would take a while. Now you can do yeah. that. What I wouldn't like, and I hope people understand this, because I'm not talking about your leaders here, but I think we have now a whole generation where life is all about me. Mm-hmm. It's not about God. It's not about the kingdom. It's about me and what do I want, what makes me happy. And so the church is good until it doesn't want me to do something I want to do, and yeah. then I'll leave it. To me, that is, it's got to be one of the most difficult generations to minister in mm-hmm. right now, because the amount of selfishness and me-ism is just taking over our culture.
Yeah. At all ages.
All ages.
We're
and
not
all,
just
and
talking
not just
about
the church.
Younger generation,
yeah.
right? Right.
Yeah, if it makes me uncomfortable, if it makes it hard for me, if it makes it challenging for yeah. me, and you know, and Jesus said, right, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't say, hey, yeah, if you follow me, you're going to have a nice, you know, 500 count sheets that you can sit down and rest. And but the reality is, yeah, I think, you know, we see that a lot, and we, you know, talk into that a lot.
Well, we touched on it a little bit, but what do you think the greatest challenge facing Christianity today is?
The greatest challenge is to get people back to Jesus and not to me. Jesus is not the road to my personal satisfaction. Jesus is the Savior. He's my Lord. But it isn't just about me getting everything I want in life. And so that's... I think that's a huge challenge
yeah.
that the church faces. Because what you're asking people to do is to be very countercultural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that a lot of people are ready for that.
Speak a little bit more to that. What do you mean we're asking them to be countercultural?
The culture, like I said, is about me. The kingdom of God is about Christ and serving him. Like you said, Pastor Josh, lay down your life, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's what the kingdom asks us to do. The culture tells us you don't have to follow anybody except yourself. You're God. You yeah. can do whatever you want, and you know, you should make yourself happy. You're worth it. And so to look at sin, and because the gospel doesn't mean anything if there is no sin. If I can do whatever I want and it's not wrong, then why do I need Jesus? And if Jesus is keeping me from getting what I want, I don't need him.
Do you feel like that's always been a challenge of Christianity and now it's just really amped up? Or do you feel like it's really escalated in the past few years?
I think it's escalated in the past 20, 30 years. I think that's been the direction of the culture, and I think it's gotten worse and worse over time. And it's always been a sin of humanity to want to get what they want. But I think as being acceptable and promoted as being the life you need, that's what we're facing now.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think you probably said it way better than I, but I would maybe add just a word to it, and that my word is kind of apathy, mm-hmm. right? Like, when we live in a community where 50% of people don't know Jesus, 75% don't have a church home, the problem facing us, and this was growing up for me, it was the church down the street. The problem for our church is they're all going to the Baptist church. I grew up in Baptist land. The problem for us is that people want different worship than what we have. And I think now it's really, you know, it's apathy. It's not, our problem is not the church down the street. Our problem is that, well, the people that are coming here aren't sharing Jesus out there, including myself sometimes. And the problem is that there's people out there that their lives are just fine the way they are,
yeah.
or they think they are. So why would you spend time with Jesus or spend time in church? And so that apathy, I think, is just within the church, outside the church, is really affecting our ability to, as you say, speak something that's countercultural, to speak something that's hard, that's challenging, right? If you challenge me, I may just walk away,
yeah.
right? Like, we wanna be apathetic.
Back in the day, I can remember when I first came to Peace, the Kennedy,
Kennedy Evangelism.
Yeah, Kennedy Evangelism was the way to go. And now it's joining Jesus. And both of you are really familiar with Greg Finke and the joining Jesus. Yeah. Would joining Jesus have worked back then?
Yeah, I think it would have, because I think what Greg has tried to do is go back into what the early church did and to live amongst your people and let Christ shine through you right where you're at in your everyday life. And Kennedy evangelism, again, had its place, but it absolutely will not work in our culture today. Nobody wants somebody knocking on their door and saying, "Can I come in and talk to you about your sin?"
Yeah.
For sure. I was going to ask Pastor Josh that, but thanks for answering that. You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Totally agree.
What do you hope is always a part of the culture at Peace? And what did you do to build that into the culture? I know, it's a hard one. I'm gonna go with you first, Pastor.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jesus, like, there's a lot of ways we could sum that up, but that it all revolves back to him, that it's all centered on him, all grounded on him always. That everything we do, we can give glory to Jesus, and everything we do, we're doing because we want other people to know Jesus, right? I think that's, you know, the different words that we might use, Pastor Hiller might say grace, but it's really back to that, like, and I think, you know, you founded church, you founded Peace on that because of Jesus, and we're going to continue to, you know, I'm going to fight tooth and nail that everything we do is about him.
I would agree. I think that really hits it on the head.
Grace has always been a cornerstone. From the time I came to Peace, you always spoke of grace, and it's been our cornerstone. Pastor Josh, you've done such a great job of really making sure that that remains the cornerstone. Do you believe the impact of grace is as important today in our culture as it was in the past? And how do we maintain that cornerstone? I'm going to start with you, Pastor.
Yeah, I think it's got to be, because that's what sets the church apart. That's what makes the church different from the world, is God's grace. And if we understand it and live it out, we are going to be attractive to the unbeliever, because we will be the ones who forgive. We will be the ones who can overlook an offense, who can love even when we're, you know, made fun of or whatever. And it makes us different, and it's what makes Jesus attractive. And so grace has got to be, it always has been, and it always will be the most important thing. I think the ungrace-filled church is what turns many people off to the church.
Amen.
Because they will not forgive, they will, you know, they're very proud, they're very, look what we do, rather than what has Christ done for us. And
And I think that fits, I think, you know, to bring both kind of the two different threads of conversation we've been having, like, I think we live in this very me-centric culture. Like, I think we are working on how are we going to be more bold to challenge that at Peace. But I think we always have to challenge it within the posture of grace, like, to let people know. Like, I think about, you know, some people that we have that are a part of church that are struggling with being re-engaging in church. Like, I had, you know, a woman come up to me and said, it's hard for me to see you in a robe for early service when I came early because of my church baggage, right? How do we
from embody, a previous
from,
church?
Yeah, from a previous church of her baggage there. Like, she comes to Modern, but how do we, yes, up the challenge of what it means to follow Christ, of what it means to move away from a me-centric ideology, but how do we do so with the foundation of grace, letting people know that your value isn't in how you're answering this call, or your value isn't in how you're coming in and doing things for other. Your value is in God's grace, but yet, and I think that's going to be a challenge to walk those two, but I think that's the struggle that we get to walk, that law and gospel as Christians, to use very Lutheran language, right? But we need a challenge. But we need a challenge in order that grace might ring truer, right? I don't know that I'm a sick and I need grace unless I'm challenged in what it means to follow Christ.
But it's hard in our culture at the same time. I think it's a little bit harder to challenge people. Do you agree with that?
In the sense of...
Like, we need to challenge people that grace is important, that they need to be sharing that grace, that they need grace. But so how do we do it in a culture that might be hard to challenge?
Well, I think you have to show it. I don't think you can only talk about it. I think it has to be shown in your, and how you welcome people, and how you, when a sinner comes to church, are they welcomed? Because do we all realize we're sinners? And, you know, we don't deserve to be here either. So, you know, do we treat the sinner with respect? And yet, do we also stand up against sin? That's a hard thing to do. But we're in a world where nobody wants to hear the word sin, but we have to. We have to stand up against sin and still show grace.
Yeah.
Otherwise, grace is meaningless.
And I do think that is something that's gotten harder in day and age. I can remember there were times that you did stand up against sin, and maybe one or two people would say, I don't want to be here anymore. Now I think it's really how do we do it, and to do it in a way that doesn't cause too much conviction, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, we've been building up to that for a while. I think in my leadership, been building up that to a while, and it goes back to, you know, are we going to trust my thoughts and feelings about something or what God says? And then I think at the same time, like when we're challenging people, we have to understand and admit, like, and I'm going to keep admitting from the front that I'm not perfect at this and I need to be challenged at this. And that's when we go back to grace. Like the reason ultimately that we're challenging people in how they're living is so they can sink deeper into grace. It's not so that we can be a judgmental, hypocritical people, but that we challenge each other in how we're following God so we can sink deeper and deeper into God's grace.
And that challenge can only come from relationship, and building up.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In closing, I've got two closing questions for you guys. This is a Jesus-centric leadership, so it's how we raise up our leaders, how we pour into them, one of the ways. If you could say anything to our leaders, what would you love to say to them?
I would say be into the Word, spend time studying, spend time with other believers around the Word. I think that's just so important. I think there's so many other influences out there that take up so much of our time. And I think it leads to a lot of fear and anxiety in people because we spend all our time on the problems rather than on the promises that God gives us.
Mm. And that, your comment earlier about the individual who's on social media only 3 hours a week, but what if that was time in the Word and time in prayer and time really growing?
Yeah, that's what it was interesting. That's what he said. Like, he's like, I got to get my Bible app up to the top app. Like, it's because, like, I thought that was really good. And even at, like, because, and I think that's a reality that we've never arrived, right? Like, let's have a posture that we've never arrived, right? Great, you've got your down to 3 hours. He wants to get that number down. He wants to get his Bible app to the top. Like, let's never arrive. And I think some of that means let's sit at the table and struggle with each other. Like, you could disagree with some of it. Let's sit at the table. Let's struggle together, because it's only struggling together that's going to help us follow Jesus better. Not be comfortable. We're not called to be comfortable. We're called to struggle together to follow Jesus.
So what do you want to say to each other? Like, you asked this question at my installation. You know, you get taken away and we're never going to see you again. What are your parting words? What would your parting words be to Pastor Josh?
Oh, I think you're doing a great job. I think you just keep going down that path. I think like I said, I think if you spend your time, the majority of your time, on creating relationships, discipleship, and that's what this is all about, I think you will have so much more joy in your ministry than in organizational things.
Yeah. Amen. That's the dream, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the goal. Yeah, I mean, just thank you. Like, we're building on your foundation. Like, everything we do at Peace is around the grace you built in, the passion, the desire for outreach. Like, the culture of Peace shines clearly through here, and it's a culture that, you know, I'm proud to be a part of and proud to continue to move into the future. And so, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
I think for me, it's cool to see how God gave you guys a friendship. It's almost like a Paul and a Timothy, right? Like, you carved the way and what God's now calling you to take on and to do. And it's very cool to see the consistency of the love for Jesus and the desire to continue to build off that grace. And it's exciting to think about the days ahead and what God's going to do.
I just want you to know, Josh, that if you ever do something I don't like, I will find another church.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks. I appreciate that.
And as we wrap this up, we're gonna go off air and talk about why you both loved working with me so much and how that inspired you.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
No,
it's a short conversation.
Wow, I don't know why I'm laughing. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Pastor Hiller, for being here today. And we will see you on the next Jesus-Centric Leadership.